for this morning. Yes, the school year may be over, but we're having classes anyway. Another miracle in our Missouri Synod. I looked over the class list for what our catalog describes as a study of Isaiah in the vernacular, which I suppose sounds a lot more scholarly than saying something like Isaiah in Hebrew. Perhaps that attests to the popularity of that course. And as I looked over the class list, I started to ask myself, didn't we just say goodbye? And now we're saying hello again. It strikes me as being a rather awkward time. It's like when you meet someone, when you bump into someone in the grocery store and you say hi to them, and you know for sure that you're going to run into that person at least 15 more times before you get out of that grocery store. It's kind of a difficult time because with our graduation service and baccalaureate service, this kind of a time seems somewhat anticlimactic to you who are still around. And it's kind of a hard time for pulling yourself together physically and mentally. And it's a time that we see the drudgery of life more or less magnified for us. When all human excitement fails, it is a time for the gospel, like every other time in our life. A time where we look to the Lord Himself to provide the excitement that our otherwise tiresome life may need. When we look for excitement in our lives, I always remember the swan song of Moses to his people. To a people that was always looking for excitement, he said, "You folks are always looking for new gods. Johnny come latelys to provide some excitement for you. And in looking for all these new gods, you forget the rock," Moses says. In your lust for excitement, you forget about the God who is solid, who's always there, who always can be leaned upon, who can always be counted upon. In my last congregation, the Sunday school teachers made, by their own hands, a Christmas gift for the students. What they did is they took walnuts and split the shells and took the meat out. They took a half shell and they put a little wad of cotton into that shell. And then they found these real little plastic figures of an infant and put them into the cotton so that the shell became like a miniature manger. And we always used to call those gifts the gospel in a nutshell. Well, that's what this verse is, isn't it? And that's what it's always called. The gospel is Jesus Christ. The gospel is God the Father's giving of His Son and giving of Him to the whole world without exception, and giving in such a way so that it tells us that He wasn't just sending His Son to us, but that He was sacrificing His Son. What glorious news to be relishing with all that we are and have, the news of what God has done for us, what we didn't have to do by ourselves. So go ahead, bump into Him all the time through the Word and Sacrament. Bump into the Lord Jesus 15, even 20 times a day, and I know that His love and mercy toward you will overcome any awkwardness of the moment. And say to Him, "Lord, I know that we just said goodbye, but please say hello to me again in your mercy and forgiveness, and keep saying hello to me forever and ever." There's just two things I'd like to say about this verse. And they sort of go around this little word in the Greek, which Greek students will soon meet, the word gar, which usually is translated simply for in English. The point of the word seems to be that it connects what is being said with the previous context. Now, to demonstrate the atomistic horse blinder view that we take of the scriptures, I might pose to you the question, you all know what John 3:16 says. What did John 3:14 and 15 say? They say, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Now, I may be considered prejudiced as a teacher of the Old Testament, but I see just in this the active, organic, real connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, a connection which is further seen right in the verse 16 itself. Who sent his only Son? God did. The God of Israel did. That's who. The one who has always loved his people with an everlasting love. But there's another thing about this previous context which we need to see. Jesus has been talking to Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit. That's why this pericope is associated with the Pentecost season. The Holy Spirit is being talked about. But wait a minute, people say, you said the gospel is Jesus Christ, and if that's true, do you mean to say at the same time that the gospel is the Holy Spirit? Well, the way we sometimes treat the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't think that the Holy Spirit is the gospel. To some people, the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the gospel. And I'm convinced that's why we do such an incredibly poor job of preaching on sanctification, speaking of it in ways other than this pericope talks about it. We say, Jesus Christ is the gospel, but the Holy Spirit, well, he's something else. He's something more. But of course, as soon as you say that something or someone is more than the gospel, you know that you're also saying that he is something other than the gospel. Nevertheless, we say that the Holy Spirit means for us more this and more that. The Spirit means more rigor of devotion, more pious works, more specific gifts that can even be measured and quantified. I took years ago one of these inventories of gifts and I flunked it. It said that I was supposed to be a truck driver. The Spirit means for us more zeal, more tears, more laughter, more guts, more tongues and languages, more miracles. Come on, let's have some more. Oh, I know that you're saved, but is that all you can say? Is that all that you have? The word more is a word of measuring. Of measurement. The word more means quantifying, totaling up, counting up, just like the Jews would count up their mint and anise and cumin and dill. But measuring things is a function of the law, which would replace the immeasurable unilateral grace of God with a process of measuring up on our part. On the contrary, at the very outset of Jesus' ministry, he sets the record straight for Nicodemus and for us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the gospel. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who brings into our life Jesus Christ through word and sacrament. He is the Spirit whose entire work is summed up in his one message, summarized in the one statement, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The Holy Spirit does not mean more of this and less of that. As we learn with Nicodemus, oh no, it's not a matter of more or less. It's a matter of rebirth, of being totally dead or being totally alive through water and the Spirit. Dead or alive, either dead or alive through Jesus Christ, who was completely dead, giving complete payment for our complete forgiveness, who was completely risen from the dead, who ascended all the way into heaven, who gave the full measure of his Spirit, and who by the Spirit has made us completely alive. As we start our next project called Summer Session 1, I pray that we can lean upon the rock of this gospel, of Jesus Christ, of His Spirit, of the Heavenly Father who sent Him, knowing that as we undertake our work, measurements are a thing of the past, because as Christ did away with the law, He did away with all the units of measurement that we might have, like pounds and ounces and days and years. He also tells us that we're starting out at the top through the full forgiveness won by the blood of Jesus. And as we start this next session, know this, that the gospel is not a portal through which we pass to go on to bigger and better things. The gospel is a door that we remain under, the door of God's mercy and forgiveness. And that as we stay put in the gospel by the Holy Spirit, then we will truly be walking with the one that the Spirit has come to proclaim, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.